So in a couple of weeks, I probably might be heading into a storm as well. John and I will be attending a family reunion at Lake of the Ozarks, which is a different kind of storm. Close-knit group of about 75 people. We gather at my uncle's cabin at Lake of the Ozarks, and if you've ever been there, you know it's a big body of water, right? And it's not the first time we'll have gone to visit my uncle over the 4th of July, so we know a little some things. We know what to expect and how the schedule of events will go. We know that there's a tradition of taking motorboats across the resort area to watch fireworks at 10 o'clock at night when it's dark, and a large body of water that's been stirred up all day long. We know that the trip over to the other side of the lake takes close to an hour, depending on that water traffic. And we know that we will be stuck. I mean, we will have the opportunity to have even more close time with our relatives in that little boat, as if 72 prior hours hasn't been enough. So one thing to know about me in boats is I'm a little bit of a control freak. I really don't like giving over my power to the boat operator and finding the courage to let go of my fear. And there's usually some fear of also boredom in a boat that long. And I find myself struggling maybe to stay in the boat. And at the Lake of the Ozarks, there's other reasons for my fear. Number one is it's a deep body of water. It's 130 feet deep at its lowest point, which is similar, or not to be outdone, by the Sea of Galilee, which is about 141 feet deep at its deepest place. Now, I've never seen a storm on the Sea of Galilee, but I have witnessed a few at Lake of the Ozarks, and for that reason alone, I sometimes find it hard to want to be in a boat for too long, especially at night. When I read the Bible, I like to imagine, where do I see myself in the story? Just as maybe you thought when I told you the story of Lake of the Ozarks. You probably picture yourself, you know, ever being on a boat in a body of water. But when you read the Bible, I wonder, what character resonated with you today? What character do you see yourself as? A disciple in the boat with Jesus, perhaps? Perhaps you're one of those people in one of those other boats that is mentioned. Maybe you weren't in a boat at all. Maybe you were standing along the shoreline. And as much as I imagine myself in the boat with Jesus, I ended up seeing myself fighting to stay in the boat for the whole ride, especially after the storm appears and the disciples ask him, "Do you care?" Silent and sleeping on a cushion, Jesus gives off a first impression that the answer to the question is a resounding no. He doesn't seem to care at all. So I've been kicking around this idea in my head all week. What if following Jesus is not so much about getting into the boat, which stands for me as a metaphor for being a Christian follower, or as what we call maybe a disciple? But what if the harder part is staying in the boat in all those rocky and stormy times of our lives? It seems like there's so much temptation, and actual research will prove this, that there are a lot of people getting out of the boat. Have they asked themselves these questions and come up with negative answers? Does Jesus care? Does Jesus even respond to me and the events in my life? Does Jesus even notice when I'm tempted at times to simply get out of the boat? The Pew Research Center, a highly respected nonpartisan fact tank, informs the public about common issues, attitudes, and trends shaping the world, and published in their April edition this past year, there was a poll that 9 out of 10 Americans said they believe in a higher power, but not the God of the Bible. Those who believe in God with absolute certainty have declined in recent years, while the share saying that they have doubts about God's existence or that they do not believe in God at all has grown. People are getting out of the boat. So I go back to my original question that I share with the disciples, Jesus, do you care at all? And I imagine this as I imagine the fear and the frustration of the disciples as the storm battered their boat. The waves were treacherous. The shore was distant and their odds of survival were increasingly slim, and yet Jesus continued to sleep. Do their lives matter so little that he cannot be bothered to awake? Now, in the Gospel of Mark, whenever we encounter fear and faith, those are code words, and the meaning depends on the context, but they always point to a dynamic challenge of discipleship. Perhaps fear is one of the things that leads us to discipleship, right? It's pretty common when there are storms in our lives or frightening things happen, we use the Lord's name. We begin to pray. Help, Lord, please, God, save us. Jesus calls us to constantly integrate the gift of faith into our everyday lives because we stay in the boat with Jesus through faith by grace in spite of our fear. We stay in the boat at the feet of Jesus who demonstrated a divine love that is stronger than death, and we stay in the boat because there's 12 others just as afraid as I am, yet we're willing to live out life together. Staying in the boat demonstrates the willingness to live in ambiguity. Staying in the boat through the calm and the storms of life, hanging in there when family and friends are shaking with fear and ready to leave, and it's a tough call to be a disciple. We're not used to waiting it out. We live in that click of a button society nowadays. We want things now and delivered to our doorstep immediately. And we don't necessarily want to wait for Jesus to wake up or to trust that he's got it under control. So our kids have been out in South Dakota all week, our high school jam kids, speaking of storms. And it's been storming there all week. And I was telling this to a friend of ours who happens to be a Boy Scout leader who has traveled and camped with kids for many years. And he just smiled as I told him the story. And he said, you know, the worse the weather, the worse the trip, the better the stories, and the more important it was to you. Friends, we are important to God. And even though we might be hard-pressed by anxieties and tragedies, we have little choice but to try and wake God up. We pray, we beg, we shout, Lord, don't you care that I'm perishing? If you are waiting for an answer to that question, then take heart. Our God cares so deeply that God underwent death for us. And through the pain, though the pain is immense and the silence can be deafening, your God is neither distant nor indifferent. The one who watches over us neither slumbers nor sleeps. And when our fears are amped up and our anger threatens to overcome us, it is Jesus who first called us to the water's edge, who's in the boat with us, who will get us to the other side, who stills the hell-infested deep, and who does one of the greatest things of all, one of the greatest things of all. He died on the cross, and he creates in us faith. And then he gives us a peace beyond the world to fill our souls. So I invite you this day to give over your power to the most powerful one of all, Jesus the Christ. For the steadfast power of God who stills the storms and by his careful guidance through troubled waters steadies us to cross over from fear to faith. Father Richard Rohr writes that faith is not willpower. Faith is confidence. Meaning we have confidence in Jesus' power over the storms in our lives, over the fears, and over our failures to rely on our own power. Stay in the boat. Stay in community because we can make the most positive change here and be the best selves by standing and staying together throughout our faith journey. For Jesus is the one who leads us away from fear and into life. Amen.